Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And we're going to start out tonight by reading verse 13 and 14. Those two verses are going to be our text verses for tonight's message. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And the Bible says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I choose these two verses because it makes me think about things that I should be considering as we come to the end of one year and the beginning of another. All right? You see there in verse 13, "I count not myself to have apprehended." How many of us here tonight believe that we have become all that God wants us to become? Probably nobody. I see a lot of heads shaking negative. And I'm the same way. I feel the same way. I don't believe that I have become all that God wants me to become or achieved everything He wants me to achieve. I still have a long ways to go. I have a lot of growth yet to do. And even though I've been a Christian for a while, there's a lot of growing still to do. And I haven't apprehended yet, to use the Apostle Paul's words, though. You notice it says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, we'll look at the next verse in just a minute. But here we are at the end of 2024, and 2025 starts tomorrow. So forgetting those things which are behind, like 2024. Not everything, because there are things, I'll talk about that some. There are things that we need to consider and learn from and remember and all that. But especially the things that were disappointing, or the things that were a struggle, or the things that would hold us back. Forget those things. You know, put them in your past. There's nothing you can do to change it. What's done is done. By the way, what's not done is not done. Right? I mean, forgetting those things which are behind. And then notice, reaching forth unto those things which are before. So we've got this new year ahead of us. Are you going to reach forth and kind of grab on or latch on to whatever God has in front of you and for you? Because, by the way, God has good things in store for us, all of us, individually and then corporately together. God has good things in store for us. So forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, notice verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Please notice the word press. It tells me that it won't be easy. It tells me that it's going to take some effort. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Most everything that's worthwhile is going to take some effort and some energy and some pressing, to use that word. You're going to have to work for it, go forward. You know, just put forth the effort that's necessary in order that you might achieve all that God has in store for you. Like it says here, "for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I'll say this and then I'll pray. We all, I think, want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that just means I've got to keep pressing forward. Because as I've told you many, many, many times, in order to hear "well done," you have to have done well. Mm-hmm. So Lord, help us to do well in the remaining moments we have of 2024, but especially as we approach 2025. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to know you as our Lord and Savior, and to know again that you have seen us through all of this last year, and whatever is ahead of us in the new year, we don't know yet all that's ahead of us, but whatever is ahead of us, you'll be there, and you'll be with us, and you'll see us through it all. If our lives should all keep going for another year, next year, at the end of the year, we'll have a service similar to this, and we'll look back over the year, and like this one, we can't believe it went so quickly, and there's things that were discouraging, and there were other things that were a great, great blessing, and then we look forward to that new year ahead of us. And so it's just a continuation of the same thing. But help us to learn from what we need to learn from, and help us to grow in the areas that you want us to grow. And then, Lord, help me tonight as I try to share some thoughts with our church family. Please use it to encourage each one. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just calling this the beginning of a new year. The beginning of a new year, because we are coming to the end of 2024, and 2025 is right ahead of us. It's a good time, I think, for each one of us to evaluate our year and see the shortcomings, see maybe some corrections that we need to make, see some things that we could do better and do differently. So as you say goodbye to 2024 and hello to 2025, this is a good time for us to do that evaluating, all right? And I have three main thoughts I want to give you today. And the first one is, the beginning of a new year is a good time to repent. The beginning of a new year is a good time to repent. Now, what I'm thinking of is repenting of sins and bad habits that you might be guilty of. Okay? Anybody here like me in the sense that you have asked God forgiveness for things you've asked forgiveness for before? Anybody here like that? Okay, several hands went up. That's me too. By the way, as a pastor, I wish I could tell you that that's not true for me, but it's still true. I hope you never forget the fact that I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you are. Pastors are not perfect, and they still struggle with things, and they still have things that they have to deal with. And so there are things that I have asked forgiveness for, some of them many times. And still in 2024, I had to ask forgiveness again. Some things, of course, and I'm thinking your life's like this too. There are some things in my history that I don't have to ask forgiveness for anymore, because God's given me the victory. And I'm thankful for those victories. Okay? And some of those things that I've asked forgiveness for many times, I'm looking forward to the day when I have the victory over those things as well. Okay? And perhaps you are as well. But sins and bad habits that we're guilty of, they need to be repented. They need to, you know, it's like one man said to me, he said, repentance is being sorry enough to quit. Sorry enough to quit. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. It's a good verse. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Here's another one. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's another great verse. If we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So let me encourage you with this. Even if it's been 20 times and you come up against time 21, go ahead and confess it and ask for forgiveness. Because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. One more verse along this line. Revelation 2:5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That was a verse that was written to one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. But it shows here that you need to repent, and that if you don't, he'll remove the candlestick. And you don't want him to remove the candlestick. That's his presence and his power and all that kind of stuff. So the beginning of a new year is a good time to repent. Repent of the sins and bad habits you were guilty of. Here's another thought. Repent of any neglect you are guilty of. Repent of any neglect that you are guilty of. Just a couple of thoughts. Please don't get upset with me. Okay? But have you neglected your family at all? I don't know anybody here that has, but there are people that neglect their family. You know, husbands neglecting their wives, or wives neglecting their husbands, or parents neglecting their children, or children neglecting their parents. Those are all examples of neglecting your family. And if that's true, then that's something you need to repent of and ask the Lord's forgiveness for. Here's another thought about neglecting, repenting any neglect that you're guilty of. How about neglecting the services or the activities of your church? Neglecting the services or the activities of your church. Just a thought. Again, don't get upset with me, please. But when the Lord led you here, however long ago that was, did he know that Stoughton Baptist Church had Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Did the Lord know that when he led you here? He did, didn't he? And he led you here. Wouldn't that give you a hint that maybe he wants you to be involved in those services as well? Every service we have, of course, we try to deal with other things than we did in the previous one. And so if you come, I mean, the more often you come, the more you're going to learn and the more you're going to grow. And I think it was Michelle talked about this on Sunday. We need the preaching and the teaching of God's word in the services, because that is how we grow. You know, it's going to help us and grow us and mature us and so forth. So please don't neglect the services and activities of the church. So there's neglecting your family, neglecting the services and activities of the church. How about this? Neglect of spiritual duties before the Lord. I'm thinking now about Bible reading, prayer, maybe giving, maybe witnessing, maybe just living a holy life. Neglecting your spiritual duties before the Lord. So repent of sins and bad habits. Secondly, repent of any neglect you're guilty of. Third, talking about repentance, repent of wrong attitudes. Repent of wrong attitudes that you are guilty of. And this has to do with wrong attitudes toward other people. Wrong attitudes toward other people. There are believers who are pure morally in their behavior, but in their heart, there's hatred, there's jealousy, there's malice, there's envy, those kinds of things. We have to be careful about those things, because I hope you believe me when I tell you this. They are a poison in your life. Things like hatred and jealousy and malice and envy, they're a poison in your life. And you know, it's going to hurt you a lot more than it hurt the other person. Always works that way. It always works that way. It's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt the other person. So repent of wrong attitudes. Listen, Colossians 3 verses 8 and 9. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Good verses to remind us those kind of things are a poison in our life, and we have to repent if any of those wrong attitudes we were guilty of. So the beginning of a new year is a good time to repent. Repent of sins and bad habits that you're guilty of. Repent of any neglect you're guilty of. And repent of any wrong attitudes that you're guilty of. Second main thought. Just three main thoughts. But the second main thought is this. The beginning of a new year is a good time to resolve. Resolve. There's a couple of good examples, I think, of this in God's word. And I'll talk about three men that you're all familiar with in the Bible: Daniel and Jacob and David. All right? Let's talk about Daniel first. In Daniel 1, verse 8, Daniel 1, verse 8, the Bible says that Daniel made a decision that he would not defile himself. That he would not defile himself. In other words, he wanted to keep himself pure. You remember, this all came about because Daniel was part of the children of Israel that were captured by the Babylonians and taken off to Babylon. And the king in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, chose Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and gave them responsibilities and so forth. And remember, the king wanted them to eat and drink just like the Babylonians did. And of course, they said, we can't do that, you know, because we've been dedicated to the Lord. So we're going to, you know, if you would, give us pulse and, you know, that's like beans and vegetables and stuff like that. Give us pulse to eat and water to drink and we'll be fine. And so he put them to the test for 10 days. And sure enough, when 10 days were done, they came through it, you know, better off than the other servants of Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel didn't want to defile himself with the, not just the food of Babylon, but even the thoughts and the attitudes and anything that had to do with Babylon. In other words, he didn't want to become a Babylonian. He wanted to keep himself pure in thought and attitude and deed, and of course in the things he ate. When you get to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 11, the Bible shows us there that God blessed Daniel for his resolve to stay pure no matter what the cost. Now, let me ask you this. Will it cost you to not defile yourself? It will, won't it? I mean, if you determine in your heart that I'm not going to be like other people, I'm not trying to be better than anyone, but I'm not going to be like them in the sense that I'm a Christian and I'm going to live for God and I'm going to do what's right and I'm not going to defile myself with this world. I'm just, with God helping me, I'm not going to let that happen. It'll cost you. It might cost you some family members. It might cost you some friends. It might cost you, you know, several things, but God will bless you if you make that kind of resolve that I'm going to stay pure in thought and attitude and deed. He's going to bless you in this new year if you'll resolve to do that. So Daniel's the first example. The second example I want to give you is Jacob. Jacob resolved, and this is found in Genesis 28, Jacob resolved that he would give to God and God's work. That he would give to God and God's work. Jacob said that because God has been faithful to me, I'm going to be faithful to him in the area of my giving. And don't you know, God blessed Jacob for that. Boy, I want to share something with you that's a little bit personal, and I really hope you don't take it the wrong way, okay? Because it's personal. And I want you to know that I'm not trying to boast or brag or anything like that. But honest, truthfully, and people who know me well know this, this is the fifth church that I've been the pastor of. And every church that I've been the pastor of, God has blessed financially. Some of it is just being careful how you use the money that comes in. Try not to spend more than what comes in, you know. Don't you wish our government would learn that lesson? Funny, isn't it? The normal citizen has to, but the government doesn't have to learn that lesson. But anyway, every church that I've been a pastor of, God has blessed financially. Some of them, there's one in particular I'm thinking of now that when we came there as the pastor, they were behind financially with all their missionaries, with all some of their bills and things like that. And we just began to see the offerings increase and we got everybody caught up. And by the time we left, there was actually money in the bank. In fact, is every church that we've been a part of, there's been a fair amount of money in the bank. Besides being able to pay all your bills and pay your missionaries and maybe add missionaries and things like that. If you think about our church here, Stoughton Baptist Church, we're not a large church. We're a small church. And yet, our church is doing well financially. We really are. We still have a lot of money in the bank. And you know this, it wasn't that long ago, right? We were able to give $8,500 to the relief effort in North Carolina. $8,500 from a little church like this. And then, of course, our missionaries recently got $726 each as a special Christmas gift. And that's just two examples of things, you know this, that we have done. And I hope, again, you understand, we're not boasting here. We're not proud of ourselves for doing that or anything like that. But why is that? It's because of God's blessings. It's because of God's blessings. And Sarah and I were talking about this not that long ago. And I think this is true. And again, I hope you'll take this in the right way. But because Sarah and I have been faithful in our giving, and then not just giving in the offering plate, but taking care of things financially that we never get reimbursed for. Because God sees that and God knows that. And God knows that in our heart, we want to be free before God with our money that He gave us. And do what we can to help His work go forward. God says, okay, I'll bless your church because of that. And it's happened in every church that we've been in. And I hope you understand, but like Jacob, and I've learned this through the years, and of course it's in the scriptures, like Jacob, when you put the Lord first in your finances, God blesses that. You've heard me say it before. You can never outgive the Lord. And it's very true. And I know that some of you know that because of how our church has been blessed financially. You know, when you see the offerings in the bulletins, how does that all come in from a small group like this? How is it that we've been able to do everything we've been able to do? How is it that we could... It cost us a whole lot more than we originally thought. How could we have a brand new parking lot out there? Or how could we have all the remodeling that was done in here and still have the money that we have in the bank? Or how could we do these other things and still have, it's God's blessings, which I'm saying some of us here have learned that when I put the Lord first in my finances, we're blessed because of that. Just like Jacob. See, Daniel resolved, I'm not going to defile myself by the Babylonian world around me. Jacob resolved he was going to give to God and God's work. He was going to put the Lord first in his finances, and God blessed him for that. And friend, God will bless you for that too. All right? The third man I wanted to mention was David. We looked at Daniel, Jacob, and now David. David, I want to talk to you about David, two resolutions that I know he made, at least. Probably others, I'm sure. One resolution David made was he was going to read and live the Bible. And you can see this in Psalm 119 throughout the whole psalm. Remember, the Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. And just a couple examples, verse 8, verse 15 and 16, verses 33 to 40, makes it really, really clear that David made a resolve that he was going to read and live by what the Bible says. Today, don't know if you're doing this or not. Some of you are, I know, because you handed in your Bible reading schedules. But today, we finished up the Bible again. Now, I'm not exactly sure how many times you and I have done it, Sarah, but I know it's a lot, okay? And we were kind of smiling about this morning because what we like to do is we like to listen to Alexander Scorby read it as we follow along in our Bible. So we're hearing it and reading it, you know, using two of your senses anyway, and hopefully gathering in what God has for you. But when he gets near the end and he gets to Revelation 22 and the last few verses, it always finishes up by the end of the book of Revelation, the end of the New Testament, the end of the Holy Bible. It's always that way. That's the way the recording ends. Okay? And so we were smiling about this morning because tomorrow morning we'll start all over again. We'll start all over again. Say, how long are you going to do that? Till the Lord takes me home? Because every time I read the Bible, I see something I didn't see last time. And I'm still learning and I'm still growing and I've still got growing to do. So like David, I'm going to resolve, and I already have resolved, I'm going to read and try to live what the Bible says. Another resolve that I see that he made, and that's from Psalm 116, He resolved that he would be a man of prayer. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that prayer works?
Amen.
It does, doesn't it? Do you believe that prayer changes things? Yeah, Sarah just said it. You're living proof of that. I agree. I tell everybody who tells me they're praying for me, I tell every one of them, thank you for praying for me. That's making the difference. Because I do believe that. It's the prayers of God's people, not just here, but other people that I know that are Christians that are praying for me. It's the prayers of God's people that's keeping this guy alive and helping me to do as well as I'm doing. A man or a woman of prayer. Boy, does our world need that. Men and women who know how to pray and get answers from God. The world needs that so very much. And so, like David, I resolve I'm going to be a man of prayer. And I think God wants us all to do that. So these three men, Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. Jacob resolved to give to God in his work and put the Lord first in his finances. And David resolved to do two things, read and live the Bible and be a man of prayer. So as you think about the beginning of a new year, it's number one, a good time to repent. Repent of bad habits and sins. Repent of neglect. Repent of wrong attitudes. Secondly, the beginning of a new year is a good time to resolve. And I mentioned Daniel's resolve, Jacob's resolve, and David's resolve. The last thing I want to talk with you about tonight is this. Number three, the beginning of a new year is a good time to remember. A good time to remember. So this is the part of the sermon where I'm going to talk about last year. All right? Remember last year. I realize our text said forgetting those things which are behind. Okay? But don't you think it is good for us to look back and remember last year? I mean, really think about it. Here's just a few things. What were the pitfalls that you dealt with last year? By the way, the devil knows our weaknesses. And he knows what buttons to push. He knows where you're weakest as far as temptation is concerned. And same with me. Same with me. All right? What were the pitfalls last year? If I was... this is a good example. The Lord just reminded me of this. Because today, I let Sarah drive. She took me to the VA hospital. And I don't know what route any of you take when you're going towards the hospitals, but normally we leave here, we go up 51, we turn on Schneider Road, and we take it all the way over to Double M, and then we get on 14, and 14 goes right into Madison, and that becomes Park Street as you're coming into Madison. And if you've ever driven on Park Street, you know this is true. You're driving down Park Street, and there's all kinds of those manhole covers, and some of them are kind of deep. And I don't know if you've done this or not, but usually when we go down Park Street, she was driving, but we don't miss them all. We try, but we don't miss them all. Okay? So here's my question. If I'm going down a road, or maybe I'm going down a path, walking, and there's a pothole or there's a hole there or some, you know, dip in the road or whatever, wouldn't it be silly to keep hitting that same one? Why not try to avoid it? That's the idea of looking back at last year and thinking to yourself, what were the pitfalls last year? What were the things where I really messed up or slipped up or the devil really tempted me or knew my weakness and made me slip and fall? What were the stepping stones last year? I don't know that this is true, but I'm guessing it's true. Everybody in this room, including me, there were areas where we had pitfalls, but there were also areas where we had stepping stones. We made progress. We actually accomplished what God wanted us to do. We actually got more and more mature spiritually, became more and more like He wanted us to become. So what were the pitfalls last year? What were the stepping stones last year? All of us need to look back at those things and learn and grow wiser concerning those things. So the beginning of a new year is a good time to remember. Remember the past year. Number or letter B in my outline here, remember the good things that Christ has done for you last year. Did God bless you last year? Amen. He was good. He was good. By the way, heart attack or not, God's still good. God's still good. One of the ways in which he was good is he brought me through all that. Because boy, I tell you what, on the way to the hospital, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. But God brought me through that, and again, I'm doing very well. Every good thing we have is because God was good to us. Because God gave you his best and gives you his best, shouldn't we give him our best? Yeah, there's a song by that title, isn't it? Our best. So remember the past year. What were the pitfalls? What were the stepping stones? Remember the good things that Christ has done for you last year. Remember that the greatest happiness and the richest rewards come to those who faithfully live for Christ. The greatest happiness and the richest rewards come to those who are faithfully living for Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. That doesn't mean you never made a mistake. That doesn't mean you never goofed up and did something silly. And, you know, it does mean, though, that you're trying your very best. I really believe this, and I think probably in your relationship with God, you believe this too. As long as I'm giving him my best, he's okay with that. As long as I'm giving him my best, he's okay with that. By the way, how much better can you do than your best? You can't do any better than that, right? And if you're giving God your best, he's okay with that. So remember the past year. What were the pitfalls and the stepping stones? Remember the good things that Christ has done for you in the past year. Remember that the greatest happiness and the richest rewards come to those who faithfully live for Christ. And then my last thought about a good time to remember. Remember that judgment day is coming. Remember that judgment day is coming. Now, we only have a few hours left in 2024. But there's a pretty good chance that Judgment Day will not be 2024. It still could happen. I know that. And if it does, it does. It's all in God's hands. It's up to him, not up to me. But it also could come in 2025. I'm not really sure how much time we have left. I have an idea it's not much. I have an idea that our Lord's going to come soon. Especially when you see what's going on in the world today. And the time to be prepared for Judgment Day, whenever it does come, the time to prepare for that is right now. Always live with Judgment Day in view. I've told you stories in the past about my dad when he got to where he couldn't run the farm anymore and he got involved in sales and he would leave on a Monday, normally come back on a Friday. And when he left on Monday, he'd always give us a list of chores we had to do. Things that had to get done during the week before he got back on Friday. And I got to tell you, in those days, I was a procrastinator. And I would put it off and put it off and put it off. And instead, you know, play baseball or, you know, just goof around. And then every once in a while, you'd think Dad was coming back on Friday. But every once in a while, he'd show up on Thursday. And yeah, oops. And if your list wasn't done, Judgment Day was there. Yeah, my dad was not happy because my list wasn't done. The time to get ready for Judgment Day is right now. Because again, we don't know when it's coming. And whenever our Lord comes, all of us want to hear this. Well done, good and faithful servant. So, we're coming to the end of this year. We're starting a new year tomorrow. The beginning of a new year is a good time to repent. It's a good time to resolve. It's also a good time to remember. I hope every one of you will consider this and that you'll just take it as an encouragement from somebody who loves you. That we all need to live in such a way that when the Lord comes back, whenever that is, nobody has to be ashamed. Because we're all doing what we should be doing. All right? Let's just close the sermon in prayer, okay? Lord, thank you for this privilege that's been mine to try to bring some encouragement to your children tonight. Some of these things have spoken to my heart, and I hope they have to others. And I just pray, Lord, that you help us to live our lives always with Judgment Day in view and do the very best we can for you all the time. Because whenever you do come back, none of us know for sure when that is, but whenever you do come back, we need to be prepared. Bless, please, as we close the message portion of tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.